Hello, this is John Rhodes, and this is Mystic Babylon Open Mic Poetry Podcast and Audio Today. Today we have three poets besides me. We have some more of the poetry from the Poem Dome celebration last April. In order, there is Daniel Yarian, Paul Corman Roberts, and Kim Johnson. I, as usual, will read a few poems in the beginning. At the beginning of next month, I will have another Comcast Cable Access 29 show for you to watch. Please stay tuned for it, and I hope you enjoy this audio podcast. Just a reminder, my shows rerun on Channel 29 one to three times a week, and if you look every 2 days on the San Francisco Cable Access 29 scheduling page on their website for when you can see my show, you will in this way be able to see the TV show in its full resolution if you live in the San Francisco Bay Area. Please also buy the books of the authors on this website. My book of poetry is Spirits of Bondage and Inherent Transcendence. The poetry segment will start shortly. Hello, this is John again. This first poem, Bric-a-Brac, describes the built-up wickedness of society being much like brick and mortar itself, which makes it difficult to recreate a compassionate society without tearing down the foundation. The title of the poem is spelt like brick and mortar, as in brick, thusly bric-a-brac. Here is the poem. The bricklayer must sing, and the building he builds should house kind-hearted gentry, not a machine. The remnants of a foundation from the past should not be shrouded in mystery where previous shadows of gloom of predestination are cast. We can't always live with a broken-down spirit in a broken-down house, where our stepfather Inquisition has exiled us for trying to fortify our spirits and reinforce what we espouse. The reactionary inappropriateness of the footloose thrower of bricks sometimes delves into the meaning and origin of the elusive built-up bigotry that prevents a man from building a castle and instead must dig a ditch. The keystone should extend its support to the strengthening and building of the pier so as to hold back the landslides which tear down the courthouse and cause the weak to experience fears. We have to trick the shams who testify against themselves so their building will fall down in shambles all because of themselves. This second poem, The Cat, is just a silly poem I wrote about a hippie I knew in the 70s. Here is the poem. I knew a man who was a cat. He rode a Harley and was very fat. He lived in Babylon, where you must be begat. He had a Chinese father from Siam. His favorite food was ham. Ever since he left Siam, he was on the lam. This cat also refused to fight in Vietnam, but asked if he liked Angkor Wat. He said he liked it because it rhymed with cat. He said of war he preferred peace, but he wasn't against eating some tasty meats. The man who was this cat that I knew was a very jealous cat, too. He would sing a song of meow to Sally, who was his girlfriend in Tin Pan Alley. He banged so loud on his pans in that alley that he attracted the attention of Lieutenant Callie. It was then that he became afraid that he would take his girlfriend to ballet. He felt so proud that Chairman Mao thought he was the cat's meow. This last poem, It's Greek to Me, echoes the idea that the guilty speak a foreign tongue that in this case is Grecian. Here's the poem. The devil is a Grecian priest. His mind is alive, but his soul is deceased. He is not tame. He is an arson and a beast, and a confessor, to say the least. He lit my soul on fire. His presence even disturbed the funeral pyre. He spoke the devil's word, but everything he said was true. The only thing, it was in Grecian, and it was all construed. When the priest left, all you could see was his heels. He disappeared quickly, so you couldn't tell how he feels. His face was hooded, and his figure into the night did rapidly steal. Everything he said, especially when he talked Grecian, was foreign to me. Even with all he had to say, I could not totally agree. Thank you.
We have just one little thing.
We have just one little thing. One of our readers, from Daniel Yarian, from the All Poets Reading, didn't get called up to the mic in our initial group of readings. So this is Daniel Yarian, and he's going to come give us a poem right now.
Thank you. Salvador Dali's mustache. What propels Gothic propeller? Suspended awning, wavering, lingering on Spanish lips. A slide for the small satanic sales angels on vacation. From whispering antics and artists, earful of undivided attention. With face language expressing more of everything as opposed to nothing. A bluff. Scolding you this instant, daring you with that try and keep a straight face while I'm telling you this type of demeanor. Drug brush, bad act deliberate, with a doctorate serious picking his teeth with harpoon. Watching the cages in the animals bolt open to the furry fury of bank hour blandness. The underbelly of boiled over madness, spoiled by the curfews of the mind.
Hi, I'm Paul Corman Roberts from the Creamery Reading Series. Last Saturday of every month at the New College of California Creamery, except for this July coming up. The last line of this poem is a Bob Kaufman line. I'll credit it appropriately. The poem is for Bob Kaufman. The Abominauts are coming to piss on your lawn. What, you may then ask, is an Abominaut? Well, I'll tell you, an Abominaut is a dedicated explorer in the philosophical terrain of Abominism. Abominauts prefer to have cunnilingus performed on them by their old men while mounted on the Bolivar statue at UN Plaza, preferably in broad daylight during the farmer's market. Abominauts remember a day when you could cop a place to live just by hanging around a bookstore or a record store or a college campus if you could stand to talk the talk for just long enough. Abominauts control Market Street in downtown San Francisco every Sunday morning from 6 until 9. Abominauts are the blessed meek that we were warned about by a ranting Christ on his ranting mount. The Abominauts worship at the altar of a North Beach flaneur whose ghost still haunts every poetry reading within remembering distance of Columbus and Broadway. They worship at the flaneur's altar because he managed to be, without really trying, everything the Abominauts are always trying to be. Everything the Abominauts are always trying to be, defined as black, brown, red, yellow, pink, orange, with a blue man desperately trying to get out. Everything the Abominauts try to be, defined as bisexual, omnisexual, vegisexual, antisexual, and yes, even mexisexual. Everything the Abominauts are always trying to be, defined as incarcerated, lacerated, emancipated, strung out to angelic perception, strung out to immaculate perfection, and able to get laid with a few bits of choice prose and a simple flash of the eyes. And isn't this the ideal job description for a savior man? Now, the Abominauts work overtime to be any one of these things, so quite naturally fail to be any one of these things. But regardless of that fact, the Abominauts shall inherit the earth. They will erect a memorial skyscraper to their patron saint, Gracchus Babouf, if you remember who he is, and I think a few of you here might. They will stoke the cold ashes of the Paris Commune. They will abort Joseph Stalin at every urban intersection while touring the thin, good-looking corpse of Lenin internationally on the electrical animation circuit. They will elect Jack Hirschman, Supreme Commissar of the Meta-Universe, only to be served while he's in Italy. The Board of Supervisors will be whoever shows up at Diamond Dave's or Mark Schwartz readings that particular week. And somewhere, out looking side in this Abominaut world, the Savior, the Bagel Shop Balladeer, the Bomb Cough, will speak into the hearts of each and every Abominaut, where his words will reach across time, space, and dimension into the dreams of his minions each and every godless night, where he will whisper into the cores of each and every one of their souls, "God damn it, I just wanted you to share some oatmeal cookies. This isn't at all what I was trying to tell you, stupid sons of bitches!" And in that moment, each and every Abominaut shall awaken with a start, with a warm, fuzzy yang running right down each and every one of their chakras. And in the very next moment, each and every Abominaut shall feel a pure joy, which causes them to laugh a very good and hearty laugh as if they had just heard a very good joke. And isn't this the ideal salvation after all? Thank you.
What's up, you guys? I'm Kim Johnson from 16th and Mission Cypher, if you haven't been. It's an outdoor cypher that happens in front of a BART station, and basically we have to try to get people to stop and listen to our poetry, and this poem was written for that very event. And, there had never been soup kitchens for starving artists. Musicians are doctors without borders, and when a writer dies, it is so quiet, you can almost hear their pen drop. Well, tonight, I got a fat lady locked in a music box, and there's a cipher going on that reminds me of the purity of music and poetry. See, this city is built on distractions. She doesn't owe us her attention. I see her fresh faces like a pumpkin patch. My pen has yet to carve expressions in, and I would jump through hoop earrings if it would get you to listen. Tonight, I am a shadow puppet under this streetlight, staring up into the heavens. Paper crane notebook pages float off my tongue in the thousands. You see, in this world that aborts web fetuses, I survived in the wombs of surrealists. Today, I want to take all the dreamers on a field trip to the unicorn farm. And what if I told you that a Siamese twin's dying wish is to have a zipper tattooed on their skin, and that I only shoot myself in the foot when I wear bunny slippers? That passion is running out of glue and busting a nut on your project because you can't wait to finish. That both art and orgasms can be out-of-body experiences. And if you paddle out far enough, you can see the reflections of gods in the Earth's punch bowl. And it is the closest I've ever come to walking on water. Even when it is low tide and tough to couch surf, I pounded toenails into the pavement to hang air fresheners in armpit towns. And watch cactuses embrace their 5 o'clock shadow. I have followed these holes in my heart to the other side of the world. So remember, even when life is a rabbit with a missing foot, this earth is still a Dalmatian in the realm of beauty marks. And we are a generation of skunks who have been baptized in tomato juice. And it is time to reclaim our essence. This could be that night of sangria and Santeria, one moment where your finger can door belly dance in anticipation of all that is possible. Musicians, they will always be doctors without borders. Pick up a seashell off the beach in Florida and you can hear the soft wailing of a trumpet in Havana. Press your ear to an MC's chest and you can hear their hearts beatboxing. I guess I felt like Linus all these years, holding Jimi Hendrix like an electric blanket. No one inside out, headphones can become megaphones. And tonight, we are two peas in an iPod. Taking in the city from this rooftop. Using mixed CDs to teach collages to the blind. And I was born in this quicksand box with a penny jar from my thoughts and taught that the heart is a two-way mirror to freedom. So if you are going to hang an artist to a cross, don't bother to give us tetanus shots, because I have seen archers disguised as martyrs shoot down strange fruit from heaven's orchards and know that when my ancestors passed, they weighed their hearts against a feathered headdress, and there are never going to be soup kitchens for starving artists, because hunger, it's what drives us. And tonight, I pray to the Salvador Dalai Lama to release the chains of writer's block so I can write a poem that is going to levitate us all off this street corner. Because when I die, I want it to be so quiet that you hear my pen drop. Thank you.
This is the end of Mystic Babylon Open Mic Poetry Podcast. Please come back again for the cable TV show that's coming up next.
This podcast is a member of the Association of Poetry Podcasting at poetrypodcasting.org.